Timothy was a young co-worker of Paul, who described him as a man of God and someone who was like-souled with him. Although Timothy was merely a young adult at the time, Paul perfected him and entrusted him with the care of the church and charged him to fully accomplish his ministry. This week we begin a new series titled, A Man of God Caring for the Church of God, with speaking from Brother Ron Kangas on how Paul and his young co-worker Timothy became a reproduction of Christ as the man of God to care for the Church of God. This meeting was held in August 2015 with Working Saints in Orange County, California. A link to the full audio can be found in the episode notes.
As Paul was on one of his journeys of ministry, he was in a certain locality, and a certain young adult brother was recommended to him. He had a very good history, an excellent upbringing. There was faith in his mother. She had faith. His grandmother had faith. And Paul decided in the Lord to take him as one of his co-workers. Eventually, in writing to the Philippians, he would say that he had no one else like-souled other than Timothy, who would genuinely care for what concerned the saints. For all were seeking their own things. Well, eventually, Paul realized, especially during the second imprisonment, that his journey, his course, was about to end. So he wrote to Timothy, his child in the faith, two epistles. I look forward to meeting him, surely in the future, in the kingdom, in the New Jerusalem, to hear his testimony about the impact of those lengthy emails that he received, the details, the spirit, the heart, the feeling, the commission, the light, the grace, the life conveyed. In 1 Timothy, Timothy was in Ephesus. Paul left him there. So Timothy, some kind of young adult, I don't think he was middle-aged yet. He wasn't the Apostle Paul, but he had a portion. And Paul said to him in the second epistle, fulfill your ministry. So Paul left him there with a big responsibility. Paul was released from prison and shortly thereafter was imprisoned again to be martyred. So he wrote his final words to his spiritual son in 2 Timothy, realizing that he had finished the course, but Timothy had not. I've been dwelling on certain aspects of these two epistles recently, and I'd like to take a phrase from 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 12, and combine it with a phrase in chapter 3, verse 5. In 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul addresses Timothy as a man of God. He says, "Oh, man of God," with much feeling. And in 2 Timothy, he used this expression again, man of God. So this is how Paul viewed this young adult spiritual son of his, a man of God. Then in chapter 3, verse 5, we're still in 1 Timothy, Paul is instructing Timothy concerning the appointing of elders, especially the humanity of the brothers, the kind of persons they needed to be, relatively speaking, because you have to work with the brothers that are in your locality. And he came to the matter of a brother being responsible for his own household, his family, to take care of his family. Then he told Timothy, if the brother does not do this, how can he care for the church of God? Okay, care for the church of God. So our subject is a man of God caring for the church of God. And I'm using man of God generically and inclusively for all of us. We could speak along this line to co-workers. We could speak along this line to elders. But let's take Timothy as a representative of a faithful, developing young adult brother in the church. And Paul did not have the concept that you have to be an agent apostle like him who has written epistles before you can bear any responsibility. That was not his view. He realized, and he even charged Timothy, the things you've received, you commit to faithful men. And they will pass them on to others. So there's definitely the sense in Paul's heart of an organic continuation through raising up one generation, we may say, after another. So let's focus on a man of God caring for the church of God. Now, right at the beginning, I have a concern. And the concern is how you will think about this, how you will consider yourself in the light of this. The subject first concerns a person, not a good person merely, or an ethical person, or a moral person, or even a scriptural or spiritual person, but a man of God. And this man of God is to care for the church of God. And without being a man of God, one cannot care for the church and probably should not try to care for the church. So I'm not overly concerned, but I'm aware of you. And there may be one of two responses initially. A man of God caring for the church of God. Some may say, amen, yes, I consecrate myself to be a man of God. I consecrate myself to care for the church of God. Okay, that's not consecration. That is a promise you will not be able to keep very long. But if that's where you are, that's where you are until you're somewhere else. Then others may hear this and say, I can't be it. I can't do it. There's no point in trying, promising, consecrating. Let's receive mercy to reject both kind of reactions. Yeah. It's not about what we can be or not be. or about what we can do or not do. And this is still the opening word. I'd like to try to impress you with something. The only real man of God is the Son of God, who became the Son of Man, a God-man, who lived the perfect life as the complete God and the perfect man, expressing God all the time. The only way we can be a God-man is to allow the God-man, who is now the Spirit, to make us the same as He is. A man of God is a reproduction of the man of God. And this is something organic. It's something in life. Therefore, it takes time and it goes through stages. So we should not despair that we cannot be a man of God in our natural human life. No one can. And we should not suppose that we can be a man of God in our natural life, because no one can. Timothy became a man of God because he was born of God. He was nurtured by a God-man. He was perfected. He was in one spirit, with one soul, with his perfecting spiritual father. And he became, as a young adult, a God-man. Then caring for the church. Not simply loving, not simply bearing responsibility, but caring. I love this word in this context. Caring for the church of God. If you become unexpectedly ill and are hospitalized and have major surgery, you will be very eager to learn how to care for your health. You realize this is precious, this is valuable. You need to pay attention to certain matters, certain things you should do, other things you should not do, certain things you should eat, other things you should not, except under very rare occasions, like once in a decade, perhaps. But the care is a combination of inward affection and value and concern and love with all manner of practical action when you care for the church. To impress you, or at least I should be more limited and say, in the attempt to impress you with how Christ is everything in being a man of God, caring for the church of God, let me just enumerate some of the references to Christ in these two epistles. Paul is writing, he's not writing a treatise, he's writing a letter. And he is referring spontaneously to the Lord in so many ways. Like in 1 Timothy 1:1, Christ Jesus, our hope. How can you care? How would you care for someone in the church who has lost hope? You don't think that's possible? If you never had a moment of hopelessness, even about yourself? Christ Jesus our Lord, verse 2 in chapter 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Isn't it good to be reminded of this? We have a Savior. In the church of God, we have a sinner-saving Savior. And we should convey this spirit to discouraged believers, to our unbelieving friends and companions. Christ came into the world to save you. And we're not here to condemn you. We're here to present the Savior to you. That's in chapter 2, verse 15. The next verse, verse 16. Paul says, Jesus Christ might display all his long suffering. I don't know what your feeling is. Do you have any idea how long the Lord has been bearing with you? Suffering with you? Forbearing you? Not giving up on you? Not being disappointed? We really need an all-suffering Christ to be a God-man caring for the church of God. There's a lot of challenges in the actual practical church life. Chapter 2, verse 5, there's one mediator of God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 16, our Lord is God manifest in the flesh. Chapter 6, verse 3, he has healthy words. Every time the Lord Jesus speaks, it's a healthy, life-imparting, nourishing, cherishing, supplying word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Our Savior Christ Jesus nullified death. The Lord needs some learning saints for whom this is a reality. They can be a channel to swallow up death in a meeting. They can encounter death in the life of a saint and minister the death nullifying Christ without preaching. The enemy's main weapon against the church is death in various forms. If we would care for the church, we need to know the Christ who nullified death and brought life and incorruption to light. 2 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, be empowered in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. He didn't just say be empowered in the grace is in a person. When you contact the grace in a person, that grace empowers you. Then I like chapter 2, verse 8. He says, remember Jesus Christ. What a good word. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead of the seed of David. It makes a big difference when you remember. Remember the resurrected Christ. Remember the Christ who nullified death. This Christ is in you. Verse 10, salvation is in Christ Jesus. Then Paul goes on in chapter 4 to give some weighty words. He refers to the Lord as the judge of the living and the dead, the righteous judge. And then, in verses 1 and 8, the one who would appear. And Paul's heart was broken over what happened to a close co-worker, Demas. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age. Don't think it's not possible to be with Paul through so many events, to be a co-worker with the apostle, then the going gets rough and you dissociate yourself from him. And Paul contrasts that with those who love the Lord's appearing. And then the last matter, Paul says in chapter 4, 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, it refers to Christ as the one who will deliver us from every evil work and will preserve us into his heavenly kingdom. Many years ago, an elderly leading brother in a local church was dying. The illness, the dealing, the suffering was indescribable. It was devastating. But the Lord gave him time. He gave him precious time. And this brother made this verse his final prayer again and again. Lord, deliver me from every evil work and preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Okay, this gives us at least an initial impression of how much Christ we have in these two epistles. Again, I say Paul is not explicitly teaching about Christ. He's not presenting a doctrine. But he refers to the Lord again and again because he was this kind of person. And he's constantly ministering Christ to his spiritual child. And we'll come to a point as we go to now 14 aspects of a God-man caring for the church of God. Don't worry, I won't speak 10 minutes on every aspect, you know. I got a watch here and I can still see the hands and I know which is which, you know. But Timothy was a very different disposition from Paul. And even in the end, Paul is still, I would say, touching Timothy's disposition. But all the while, he's ministering this wonderful Christ with his last breath. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit, Timothy. Actually, you don't have the imperative. It's almost like a reminder. The Lord with your spirit. Timothy, you won't see me. I'm finishing the course. The Lord is with your spirit. Remember Christ Jesus. Be empowered in the grace. He's the mediator. He's the Savior.
Thank you for joining us today. To hear the complete recording and other messages, please visit livingtohim.com. If you would like to receive regular updates from us, please subscribe to this podcast and join our mailing list on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where our handle is @livingtohim.